You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Welcome, welcome to the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. This is John Bush, and today I'm going to be talking to you about fusion centers, which is something that I have researched today for quite some time. And about fusion centers, something that back in 2010 we launched an effort called Operation Defuse. And what we did essentially was expose these fusion centers and train activists about the threats that they have to civil liberties and privacy. And fast forward, this is back in 2010. Now, fast forward to 2020, and we see that most of that which we feared about these fusion center law enforcement institutions has come to fruition. And now the purpose of this video is that after the Blue Leaks hack, which was a hack by Anonymous, which uncovered hundreds of gigabytes of law enforcement data, much of which came from these fusion centers, I was tipped off by a reporter from a local paper that there was a report on myself in the Fusion Center Intelligence Database. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and that has reignited my passion to expose these fusion centers and to share and educate people what they're all about. So we're going to start off by talking about what exactly a fusion center is. Then I'm going to share the report on myself. Derek Brose of the Conscious Resistance is also mentioned, as are Freedom Cells, which is our decentralized peer-to-peer mutual aid group that we're working to grow with over 3,500 people. And yeah, lots of crazy stuff. So let's get right down to it. I'm also going to show you how you can download and access the Blue Leaks documents. If you are a researcher or curious, or perhaps you're part of the Black Lives Matter movement and you want to see how the Fusion Center apparatus has been used to surveil that movement, then I'll show you how to do that today. So the first thing to talk about is what exactly is a fusion center? Well, a fusion center is a multi-jurisdictional law enforcement apparatus that seeks to merge the local, state, and federal information gathering and intelligence sharing practices. Essentially, it is a physical location that houses local police, Department of Homeland Security liaisons, also FBI agents at times, and they work together in order to analyze information and to come up with trends about it. And they share that information throughout the region or throughout the country if it rises to that level. The fusion centers in many ways grew out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Now, the Joint Terrorism Task Force were created in the 90s after the Oklahoma City bombing false flag terror attack. Bill Clinton pushed this terrorism bill, and they created the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which was the FBI having a outpost in local communities. There's one in Austin, Texas. They're in most major cities. That was the precursor. Now, just like after the other big terror attack on U.S. soil, 9/11, we had the Patriot Act and the Department of Homeland Security was created. Well, along with the Department of Homeland Security, I believe it originated in 2005, was this fusion center legislation that created funding through the Department of Homeland Security for these institutions to be set up and created. Now, a lot of people learned about the fusion centers back in 2009. In 2009, a document was leaked by a National Guard representative, I believe, in Missouri from the Missouri Information Analysis Center. Now, if you've been in the Patriot movement or the Liberty movement for quite some time, you might remember this. It was leaked to Alex Jones. Alex Jones really blew the lid on it. And interestingly enough, this is how I learned about it. My ex-wife, actually, the mother of my children, Catherine Bly, she was in Missouri. She was the executive director of an organization called the Liberty Restoration Project. And she was investigating the MIAC report and exposing it. And she forced all these hearings all across the state. And ultimately, she had it retracted with a lot of her activism. So let's talk about what this MIAC report was all about and what fusion centers are all about. So this is some of the intelligence that the Missouri Information Analysis Center, which was the Missouri State Highway Patrol Fusion Center, right here in Texas, there's like eight different fusion centers. El Paso has one, Houston has one, Austin has one, the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. That's the one that had the report on myself and Derek and Freedom Cells. There's a state level fusion center. In Missouri, they have local fusion centers at the Kansas City level, for example, and then they also have this state one. And so this was really an eye-opener for a lot of people in the liberty movement at the time. So let's check it out. The Modern Militia Movement, MIAC Strategic Report. Essentially, it goes over the history of the militia movement and how they are opposed to the New World Order agenda, and they're worried about United Nations troops. Let me zoom in a little bit more here for you. And the Zionist occupied government, the militia of Montana. It goes over all sorts of noteworthy militia activity. And look, the Southern Poverty Law Center. I also should note that the fusion centers work in conjunction with the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League often, which, of course, these are some nonprofit entities that do a whole lot to smear anti-government activists, grouping them in with white nationalists and racist groups. So, you know, so this is a lot of information about what's going on. The decline of the movement after the Oklahoma City bombing, which if you've done any bit of research on that, that was most definitely a false flag terror attack with the ATF and the FBI involved as well. I encourage you to check out the documentary, A Noble Lie. Here's some updates on the militia. The Texas militia was arrested, Kentucky militia. So the federal government is very concerned with the militia movement, and that's one of the reasons why they pulled off the Oklahoma City bombing in the 90s. And then with Obama, there was a resurgence of the militia movement. Resurgence. Additionally, the president-elect Barack Obama. Okay, so this is what they're opposed to. They're opposed to the Ammunition Accountability Act. They anticipate an economic collapse of the U.S. government. They are opposed to a possible constitutional convention. They're opposed to the North American Union, which if you've been researching this New World Order stuff for a while, you know about the North American Union Security and Prosperity Partnership. They're opposed to radical radio frequency identification. Sovereign citizens are part of this. Tax resistors, they engage in training. But look, here's the real kicker. And here's where this all, as if this wasn't a problem enough, right? The fusion centers aren't necessarily supposed to just track militia groups or political groups, which we'll talk about later. I also want to talk about a history of my activism with fusion centers, specifically putting forward a very strong privacy policy when we learned that the Austin Regional Intelligence Center was going to be created that would have prohibited the collection of non-criminal information of a political, religious, or social view. So the fusion centers are supposed to be focusing on criminal activity or potential crimes where there's reasonable suspicion, much like the law enforcement requirements before they engage, right? But here's where a lot of people got upset and up in arms, pun intended. So basically what this document is training law enforcement. It got sent out to all the law enforcement in Missouri. And it's like, you need to be concerned about potentially violent militia members, right? And then they're all trained and show the videos where the guy gets out of the car at the traffic stop with the AK-47 and son starts shooting or whatever. So check it out. Common militia symbols. Political paraphernalia. This was the big kicker. Militia members most commonly associate with third-party political groups. It is not uncommon for militia members to display Constitutional Party, Campaign for Liberty, or libertarian material. These members are usually supporters of former presidential candidate Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, and Bob Barr. Look, they even have the Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag there, which a lot of people fly. And then look at these movies. America, Freedom to Fascism, a classic zeitgeist movie against the Federal Reserve. And of course, they have their information right there. So this was leaked, and this created a massive uproar in the liberty community and the patriot community. This was in 2009, and of course, the Ron Paul presidential campaign had just wrapped up, and the whole Ron Paul revolution had started. So this is what brought fusion centers to my radar. Now, in 2010, 2011, the Mayor Chief Acevedo, if you're watching in Houston, that's where Derek Brose lives. He's now the mayor of Houston. I'm sorry, the police chief of Houston. He was the police chief in Austin. He started talking about, they're so excited, we're going to be having this fusion center here in Austin. It's going to give us the ability to use cameras to film a group of people to see if more than one or two people start to gather, to see if they're doing activities that could be considered concerning. And there he was talking about merging the cameras, right? I had been studying DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency under the Department of Defense, where they came up with this technology to take speech and convert it into text. DARPA also created the technology so that the NSA, for example, can take all sorts of metadata and then analyze it to get intelligence from it and to, let's see, if there's people that they should deem a threat. And so this guy, Art Acevedo, chief of police, starts talking about that. So I'm like, oh my God, I just learned about the Modern Militia Movement document. We got to do something about this. So the organization that I helped to start, Texans for Accountable Government, we worked hand in hand with the American Civil Liberties Union and some other groups to create a transpartisan coalition. We also worked with a city councilwoman to put forward a privacy policy that would have prevented, like I said before, the collection of non-criminal information of a political, social, or religious view. Well, that ended up not being enough to stop the Fusion Center from doing just that, because a few short years later, it was revealed that the Occupy Austin movement was in fact surveilled and tracked by the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. Now, fast forward to today, 2020, and we have what's called Blue Leaks. So I'm going to show you this real quick. Here's how you access Blue Leaks right here. So I recommend doing this with a VPN, BlueLeaks, DDoS. So search DD, denial, distributed denial of secrets. That's what the hack is called. This is the place that it's kind of like WikiLeaks. But I was going to say, I recommend doing this with a VPN. I prefer to use ExpressVPN. I'm not using a VPN right now because I'm doing this live stream. But here's how you can get the BlueLeaks hack. And this was created by Anonymous. I'm going to go over some of the information and intelligence reports that were found in the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. Later on, when I have some more time, I'll go through the whole trove of stuff, perhaps some from other fusion centers, like the Missouri Information Analysis Center was hacked as well. So let's see what they're up to. But I want to show you how you can get your hands on this information and check it out yourself. So you're going to want to initiate a VPN, which scrambles and hides your IP address. I like to go to it in a private window. So a lot of browsers have a private window. But this is the DDoS website. And again, it's kind of like WikiLeaks. So you go here to data, you go to North America. You're going to want to download Vuze, V-U-Z-E, which is a torrent application. It allows you to access Tor and download torrents. Not Tor, but you get to download torrents, which, if you're not familiar with that, it's where people can share files, share movies, share programs. And instead of having one person that has the file on their computer, you have little bits and pieces on a bunch of different people's computers in a distributed way. And then they seed those files, and then you can pull little pieces to create the whole program, right? Well, this is how a lot of leaked stuff is hosted, because it can't be taken down that way. It's all distributed, much like blockchain and cryptocurrency. Similar, but different. Okay, so you're going to want to download Vuze. You can go to Vuze Downloader or search Vuze, V-U-Z-E, Torrent. And this is a torrent application for those that haven't done this. Now, you'll go to Blue Leaks here. There's all sorts of other stuff. 50 Days of Lulz, a Lulzsec finale, including AOL and AT&T internal data, along with FBI being silly. Cablegate, CIA leak, Chinga la Migra, which is an attack, a Lulzsec attack on Arizona law enforcement, anti-sec attack on Arizona law enforcement, all sorts of crazy stuff in here. I haven't looked through any of this. FBI stuff, man. So it's good to be a rebel. I'm so grateful that all these anonymous hackers are just running roughshod over all this stuff. Okay, so you're going to want to go to Blue Leaks Torrent, right? So you click Torrent. This is the Vuze launcher, the program. So you'll launch the Vuze program. and that'll pull up views. Now, this is the actual BlueLeaks thing. It's 249 gigabytes of data. And these are all the different institutions that were hacked. So you can see Austin Regional Intelligence Center. There's some Houston stuff for all Derek Bros to go through. There's all sorts of different public-private partnership institution as well. So it may take a whole long time to download the 250 gigs, but what you can do is you can select all, and then you can unmark, and then you can go in and just download what it is you want to download. So then you select that, and then you go to OK. I'm not going to do it right now because I don't have my VPN, although I'm doing a public freaking video about all this. So what difference does that make? But that's how you can get access to all of these documents. So now let me show you what downloads whenever you open up the BlueLeaks folder for the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. So that's it right here. Sorry, apologies if this is small. Austin Regional Intelligence Center. So it's a whole bunch of files. First of all, there's not much here in these spreadsheets here except for one of them, which I took a long time to find. But there's files here. Look at all this. So this is the privacy policy that actually says no non-criminal information. It's not what they ended up doing, non-criminal information nonetheless. Okay. And then here's look at all this stuff. This is just a treasure trove. I'm going to go through and highlight some of this stuff that I found interesting and think might be worth sharing. Look at all these documents. These are documents shared by the Austin Police Department to Eric. These are reports that Eric puts out. These are reports that other fusion centers put out. These are reports, be on the lookout, situational awareness, stop and ID, officer safety bulletins, Elgin Police, FBI. There's a lot of FBI reports. The EPIC is the El Paso Intelligence Center. There's stuff from the Department of Homeland Security. It's just all a bunch of good, fun, interesting stuff where you can really get an insight in how law enforcement operates. And one thing that I've realized is that it's basically like it's like the cops are a gang and they have this big, fancy intelligence center toy that they can utilize in order to protect their fellow gang members. Look at all this stuff. It's crazy. My girlfriend was getting annoyed by me because I was just totally obsessively looking through all of it last night. She's like, when are you going to hang out with me? We're going to watch a show. Okay, but now let me show you what came up about me and about old Derek Bros. So this is a file called Incident Map. Okay, and it's a spreadsheet. And it was, I'm not going to scroll through it because there's a whole lot of data with other people's information and like crime stuff. But this is a PDF of what was in there. All right, so here's the meat and potatoes of what the Austin Regional Intelligence Center felt was so important to do a report on old John Bush and his ex-wife, Catherine Bleich. And, of course, the old Derek Bros got an appearance too. So this is from June 24th, 2016. TLO stands for Threat Liaison Officer, which is a position in the fusion centers. LES stands for law enforcement sensitive. So TLO, LES, APD officer. As an APD officer, I'm going to talk about who it was that put this report in because we actually have a history. These are the tags that they add to it that justifies it being put in. Suspicious activity, expressed or implied threat, recruiting, officer safety, regional crime trends, other. Nothing I did was a crime in the least bit. At all, but it's still in there. Okay. Report. Primary suspect, John Bush, anti-government activist in Austin, Texas, along with his wife, Catherine Bleich. This couple is the owner of Brave New Books at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, a retailer of anti-government focused books and other media, as well as a venue for public speakers whose topics are related to anything along the anarchist's mindset. They are very active in their own circles, and John Bush has recently posted the following on his Facebook. What if instead of standing by and filming, organized groups of freedom fighters rushed the police, subdued them, and expelled them from their communities? Freedom cells are an answer to police brutality. Derek Bros on organizing against police brutality. Join us Wednesday, the 19th at Brave New Books to learn more. So this was essentially a invite. It was a post of me marketing an event at Brave New Books, which very much was an anti-government focused bookstore. And I very much am an anti-government activist in Austin, Texas. But this was supposed to be a marketing thing for people to come learn about freedom cells. And of course, the idea is, you know, And I guess this is what the cops didn't like, but this is something that ought to be discussed. It, you know, for example, the George Floyd murder that took place in broad daylight. What if rather than filming this person get murdered in front of everyone, the community that was there watching rushed the cops, knocked the cop off of them, right? Of course, it's a controversial and provocative thing to talk about, but we're not just talking about going out and attacking police or specific police officers. No, rather, we're talking about protecting and defending individuals when they are very clearly being harmed in a great deal to the point of killing them, right? So it's one thing to film that has a benefit rather than doing nothing, but it's another thing to stop the police from harming that person. Which, you know, old Derek Bros had a trial, actually, because he went and put himself in the situation and stopped someone from getting harmed. My ex-wife, Catherine Bleich, also got arrested in New Hampshire after the Free State Project's Liberty Forum because they were doing these smoke out things. Catherine wasn't smoking. She was filming. But they'd go smoke weed in the public square in Nashua, and the police had undercover officers. And rather than arrest the activists that were very deliberately breaking the law to make a political point, they arrest this young, like 13-year-old or 16-year-old black kid. And so Kat got right up in the police officer's face and had a camera and is like, "You shouldn't arrest this kid. Why are you targeting this kid? Why are you targeting this kid?" And then another activist went and sat in front of the police car, and the cops were trying to pull this activist away, and they put handcuffs on him and they were about to pepper spray him. And Catherine Vleisch very strongly with strong energy was like, "Do not mace him." And they didn't mace him. But the point is, rather than standing idly by, people ought to protect their fellow human beings, whether it's a cop or a private person. That's what human beings ought to do for one another. But that's what I brought up. And apparently for that, it was put into the Fusion Center. So here's another thing that they talked about. They weren't just concerned about that. Apparently the Austin Regional Intelligence Center and the Austin intelligence apparatus was concerned that John Bush and these activists are friends with the police officer. Here's the second part of the report. One police officer, John Gabrielson, is a connected friend of this couple, and he is personally introduced by John Bush at Brave New Books in this video. The depth of this relationship is unknown, but this officer, Gabrielson, is well known for his firm stance on government conspiracies and its connection to a more biblical front. Oh, and then they have videos that are supposed to be like proof. So this was my profile back in 2016. Oh, I'm friends with John Gabrielson, this police officer. And then it's like, this is Catherine Bleich, my ex-wife. An APD officer organized the Free Your Mind conference that gets into conspiracies as deep as ancient aliens. He is harassed at work by his fellow officers. I consider him a friend and ally. Back to the Future conference. I just want to let everyone know that Brave New Books and Back to the Future conference are throwing a conference preview party on July 22nd with Freeman Fly, blah, blah, blah. And then here's the officer. I don't know if he's still a police officer, but he is a friend. He was a friend. And, you know, I've always tried to have allies within this institution of government or within the police. And this was a good guy. He wasn't a bad cop. He wasn't somebody that was going around abusing people. He was kind of like a person on the inside that had a freedom perspective and that knew what was going on in the world. And he wasn't afraid to talk about it. So that is the report. Now let's get a little bit more into fusion centers, and then I'm going to share some of the stuff that, well, first, let me tell you this, because this is I want to thank everyone for tuning in also and invite you to subscribe to my podcast at livefreenow.show. We got a lot of comments going on. I'm not going to be able to get to all the comments, but thank you for you guys checking us out here on the Conscious Resistance or on my personal Facebook page or my personal YouTube page. So guess who actually filled out this report? Okay, so there's all these columns here in this spreadsheet, and you go over and it says the email address of who it was that filled out the report. So I was like, who'd put this report on me? Who is so obsessed that they put this report? And wouldn't you know it, it's a guy named Jason Mistrick, an officer named Jason Mistrick, who's in Austin, Travis County, Region 2. And his email address is over here, too, if anybody wants to email him. There he is, jason.mistrick2@austintexas.gov. jason.mistrick2@austintexas.gov. So it's like, okay, who is this guy that was all curious about old John Bush and his ex-wife and Derek Bros and stuff? Well, It turns out it's this police officer who, in this video, you can see him aggressively putting his hands on me. See him grabbing my arm right there? Let me know if you guys can hear the audio.
Far away.
So this is a police officer I have a history with. This was a night after some event, and we were filming the police. And this guy didn't like the fact that I was filming him. And so he came over and grabbed my arm very aggressively, unprovoked, no reasonable suspicion of having committed a crime, basically assaulting me, grabbing my arm. There was no reason for him to put his hands on me. Later on, we see the same aggressive bully police officer has some people on the ground and they're arresting them. So this is when I was big into Cop Watch, Peaceful Streets Project that we founded. Police accountability was my main thing. And so I'm like, man, I need to go film this guy. Let me know if you guys can hear the audio here. And so we're walking over to film this guy, Officer Jason Mistred. Let me know if you can hear the audio. Look, and he's like, uh-oh. We're standing far apart, away from the people. We're not interfering. And this guy, Jason Mistred, gets all but hurt. And he starts telling us to back up.
You go on the other side of that pole and stop interfering with what I'm doing. If you don't do that, and I'm going to arrest you for failing to comply with the lawful.
Notice he was about to get on his bicycle. We're not interfering with anything. He's the one that comes up to me.
Do you understand? You are interfering with something that I'm doing. I'm going to stand over here. Your friend is too.
So I like walk away a little bit.
On the other side of that pole. See that pole right there? Get on the other side of it.
He's a good officer too. He's like counting it out, trying to make the case. In his head, he's anticipating the prosecution. He's like, I told you this many times. I was walking up behind the pole, and I ended up fighting this in court and was found guilty because of the bootlicking jury. But I have a video where I like look down on one of the frames on this video, and sure enough, I'm on the other side of the pole, and I like took pictures, so on and so forth. But the moral of the story is, it's not just some random act that this guy put me in the fusion center. This guy had it out for myself. And it doesn't just end there. This officer, Jason Mistry, at the pretrial hearing, so fast forward a little bit more. All of a sudden, around this time, a bunch of liberty activists in Austin, Texas start getting friend requests from a Facebook profile named Max Rock with a fake picture. And he starts private messaging people in our liberty community asking all these weird questions. And we're like, who the heck is this Max Rock guy? Did he friend you? Did he friend you? Fast forward to my pretrial hearing, and Officer Jason Mistrick walks up to Catherine Bleich and drops a stack of papers in her lap. This is a story from Cop Block. Austin bully cop Jason Mistrick attempts to intimidate mom and baby at father's court hearing. Man, we used to have so much crazy stuff going on. He dropped a little crumpled up piece of paper that had screenshots of our Facebook pages and us talking about filming the police and talking about going to police officers' neighborhoods and passing out flyers, talking about their abuse and their crimes. And so he dropped this crumpled up piece of paper in a threatening way. And we're like, what the heck are you doing? So this guy is like above and beyond a corrupt, crooked cop trying to intimidate people, unlawfully arresting me. I complied with the stupid order, which was an unlawful order in the first place. I most definitely was not interfering. But then we have this gentleman who wanted to be like a detective intelligence officer, like a wannabe FBI guy. Interestingly enough, there was also an intelligence report that was filed by an officer, Justin Berry, who also tried to do this amateur report about us being activists and potential terrorists. And he said we had stuff planned, like we were going to do what they did in the movie V for Vendetta, Look, this is tech dirt. Austin police officer tries to paint police accountability groups as domestic extremists in FOIA'd email. So Antonio Beeler ended up getting this FOIA out. This is his text. This wasn't even an official. This wasn't in the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. This was in the just a private. This was an email that he sent as an on-duty police officer, but he wasn't trained to do intelligence stuff. And you could tell because it was like a freaking college report. A nationwide movement has begun against the United States government and all government officials, including those at the local level and police officers employed by these agencies. Locally, numerous activists have combined their programs to work together towards the same agenda, which seems similarly in line with the National Revolution Movement. Here's the list of groups Barry believes are an imminent threat. Peaceful Streets Project, which I helped to co-found. Cop Block, Cop Watch, Texans for Accountable Government, leader and co-founder John Bush. Occupy Austin, Lone Star Sovereign Mutual Aid Response Team, leader and founder John Bush. Anonymous, Oath Keepers, Institute for Justice. A good visual of what they're hoping for can be seen in the movie V for Vendetta, basically what they're basing all their movements off of. At time marker 1 hour and 42 minutes, a detective is heard telling the plan, which is basically hoping one police officer will make a mistake and poor decision. In the case of the movie, killing an unarmed child to commit a minor, committing a minor offense. They then use that event to bring out regular people to support their cause. Though in real life, they do not have numbers needed to pull anything like that off, which is why they'll have to create a problem by claiming one thing ahead of time, then forcing people to take a certain action. My concern is that John Bush has already stockpiled weapons. What a total dork. And then they call us conspiracy theorists. This guy actually is running for state house of representatives. This officer, Justin Berry, he won the Republican nomination to run for house district, whatever, 46 or 47. What he said, basically what he said is me stockpiling weapons. When the Austin Police Department did this gun buyback program where they would give out, it was called Guns for Groceries, and you would turn in your handgun or your rifle in exchange for $100 gift card to a grocery store. We said, hey, we pulled some money together, like $2,500. Somebody donated $2,500. And we went out in front of the church where we were doing the gun buyback, and we offered to give $110 in cash for working rifles and like $50 for pistols. And we ended up purchasing 24 firearms, and we ended up giving them to low-income families that could not afford firearms. So it was a great program. Austin Police Department since has not done this gun buyback program, but that's what he thought. We were stockpiling weapons for some big V for Vendetta event where we all march in the streets for like a national revolution. Oh, this guy's Looney Tunes. So that's essentially my little history of what's going on there with fusion centers. Now, Catherine and myself started an effort called Operation Defuse, where we traveled all across the country visiting over half a dozen fusion centers. And between other people in this organization, this effort, this activist effort, we must have visited like 10 different fusion centers. We would show up to the fusion centers and give them open records requests to learn about them, right? So I'm brought back into the fusion center fray because of these guys. This is our visit to the Oklahoma fusion center.
He works for the OSPI, but on the day-to-day operations, he...
Check this out. I always thought it was interesting. See this picture here? Look, there's a picture here on the wall of the Oklahoma City bombing. Right here, that's the 9/11 attack there. And then next to it, there's a picture of the Oklahoma City bombing. It's crazy that these false flags were needed in order to take all this power. But we organized a meeting in Oklahoma. We had Representative Charles Key that was with us. And he sat down, and these guys gave us a pretty
behind camera, Charlie Curtis. Charlie's a deputy.
Pretty good explanation of what's going on there.
Next to him is the
FBI guy.
And Dave is the deputy director of the Fusion Center, coordinator for Homeland. Steve Newman is the inspector in charge of the division within the
So these guys had like these, they're doing these secreted fusion centers, and me and my ex-wife are like, let's go visit the fusion centers. And like sometimes they rolled out the red carpet for us, I guess, trying to impress us. This was the North Texas Fusion Center in Collin County.
Let us go inside with the camera. We'll find out. Right, Articles of Freedom meetup here in the Dallas area. We're about to check out the North Central Texas Fusion System. So hopefully they'll let us go inside with the camera. We'll find out.
North Central Texas Fusion System. Sure enough, they let us bring the camera in. It was nice of them.
We are very proud of what we've managed to do here over time.
They gave us a big presentation.
Center for Disease Control.
So you can see all their different positions and how they interact with the different agencies, fire marshals, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Public Safety, North Central Texas Fusion System. That's where they're at. Security and intelligence. These are the different elements of their operation. And, you know, something that's interesting, the Austin Regional Intelligence Center, originally they were going to utilize this law enforcement apparatus in order to assist in mass prophylaxis, which is mass vaccination, and engage in epidemiological review, which is tracking and tracing viruses and epidemics. We pushed back on that in 2010, 2011. We're like, we don't think that this law enforcement institution should get federal funding to engage in this healthcare operation. This is something for doctors and for health, public health, right? And then fast forward 9 years, and sure enough, we have this epidemic. So if it wasn't for our activism, then this law enforcement institution would have been assisting in the rollout of the vaccinations and engaging in the tracking and tracing of the disease trends and stuff. This was an interesting fusion center that we went to in New Mexico, and it was actually on a National Guard base. And so we got shut down on this
John
one.
John Bush here. Texas for
good looking young guy here.
Joined by Catherine Blige, Liberty Restoration Project.
We are Look, currently, we roll up to the National Guard base, filming, and they're like, what the hell are you kids doing?
Hello. How are you guys doing today? Great, how are y'all? We are hoping to visit the New Mexico All Sources Intelligence Center to deliver a public information request. We're with an organization, Texans for Accountable Government and Liberty Restoration Project.
Are they expecting you?
No, we called yesterday to speak with
Beverly
Allen, and she said she wasn't going to be able to meet with us today for an interview. Then? Yes.
Can you turn it off,
Do we have to?
Yeah. Turn it on.
Is it military property?
Unless we have private food, we can have it off.
Okay.
Take pictures from out there, nothing like that.
Okay. That's fine. Are we going to be able to deliver the public information request?
So that didn't go very well. Anyway, so yeah, we have a long history of exploring these fusion centers, and it's definitely a concern nowadays. And one of the ironic things is that a lot of liberty activists that were formerly concerned with the Department of Homeland Security later became Trump supporters, and now they're applauding the Department of Homeland Security's utilization of paramilitary forces in order to keep the peace in local communities, which I think is not a good thing. But it's interesting to see how everything gets flipped around. Now, I just want to share one of our crowning achievements with this Operation Defuse was we were featured on Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory on the police state episode. And this police state episode actually was scrubbed from the recorders, the TiVo devices and stuff, because it talked about fusion centers and it was all about fusion centers. And I guess that's something they didn't want to see. So I'm just going to roll this and then I'm going to show you guys some documents that were leaked with this fusion center, Austin Regional Intelligence Center, Blue Leaks thing. So check this out. This is Jesse Ventura's piece, and he did a piece about fusion centers, which
From
was
the
super
most
cool.
Unlikely source. In this case, it was Catherine Blech, a young woman from Missouri. Look at her. With the teenage earrings, short skirt, she's just a girl, really. Like anyone's daughter or neighbor down the street. Why would anybody bother messing with her?
I found out that an agency in my state had issued a report saying that I should be considered a threat to law enforcement.
Wait, hold on. Let's back up a little. Catherine, who are you? Do you belong to a subversive group?
No.
Have you ever?
No.
You haven't belonged to anything that the government would consider subversive or like the Hell's Angels?
No, I was a delegate for the state of Missouri as a supporter of Ron Paul to the RNC in 2008.
They labeled you a subversive and all you were doing was practicing your First Amendment rights in this country, and you learned they put you on a watch list?
Yes.
So that was pretty cool. We got to really expose people on national television, expose the whole fusion center system. They later went and visited myself at Brave New Books, which was cool. And here's some more video footage from our trip to these fusion centers. suspicious activity reports is a big part of it.
What's happened when you have gone to investigate these fusion centers?
At the Ohio Fusion Center, we were met with about four very big armed guards when we went in there, simply to deliver an open records request. Yeah, this one's really scary. This is the Arizona Fusion Center, and we interviewed this woman right here, and she actually informed us that they run organizers of protests. They run their name through their databases. I asked her if I were to organize a rally, would she run my name through the Fusion Center databases?
Yes.
She said yes. So that's legitimate First Amendment activity.
With a lot of this collection, this is...
All right, so there you have it. The Fusion Center institution, it was intended to protect Americans from terrorism, but the mission creep quickly came in, and the institution, in large part, a significant chunk of their activities is tracking, tracing, and surveilling activists. And as I pointed out in that video clip on the Jesse Ventura Show, the ACTIC, Arizona Counterterrorism Intelligence Center, anytime there was a big protest organized in the Phoenix area, the Fusion Center would grab the name of whoever was organizing it, whoever was leading the protest, and run it through their database. Now, one thing that we found with a lot of the research is that the Fusion Centers aren't concerned with groups that are just voting or having a peaceful protest that is permitted, right? They really target more radical organizations, radical entities. And so, of course, my whole comment that they put in the Fusion Center report about stopping and subduing law enforcement. So that's a provocative thing. That's a lot of what they focus on. They don't like challenges to their authority or to their power, to their status quo. So without further ado, let me just do, I'm going to try to wrap this up
reporting
in an hour. We got 41 minutes that we're going at, but I want to go over some of these documents that were in this Fusion Center leak, the Austin Regional Intelligence Center, that I thought were of interest. So check it out. All right. Let me see. I'll try to make this as big as possible for you guys to see. But here we go. A lot of the stuff that they do is like helping one another to figure out trends and stuff to watch for. So like this was officer safety from the Department of Public Safety, hidden compartment in a 2015 Chevy Tahoe. So here you have the air conditioning, and then the air conditioner can come down when you push a button. Oh, there's a Glock right there. So that's kind of tips that they do to help one another. Here's a little thing on marijuana wax, also known as dabs. Georgetown Police Department, an intelligence report, an intelligence bulletin from 2014. Look at this. I don't want to show these people's names there. Don't look at that. Another funny thing that was in the Fusion Center for the cops is the location of restaurants near ACC. So that's pretty funny. Just, I guess, when they're on their break, there's a bunch of restaurants. I don't know what that has to do with intelligence. This is a collection of anti-police groups. So here's an example. Again, I want to remind you that the Fusion Center system was not supposed to do anything of a non-criminal view, right? So let me show you this real quick. This is something that we actually worked to have put in the privacy policy. So this is the privacy policy. It's since been updated. So I imagine they've weakened the language. Political. Okay. So this is the privacy policy for the Austin Regional Intelligence Center, where we're looking at the documents from. Okay. Within the criminal intelligence system, ERIC shall collect, retain information only where there's reasonable suspicion that a specific individual or organization has committed a criminal offense or is involved in or is planning criminal conduct or activity that presents a threat to individual, the community, or nation, and the information is relevant to the criminal conduct or activity. So this is limiting the scope of what type of information can be put into the Fusion Center. And then this is the language that we work to have put in here back in 2011, I think. The Austin Regional Intelligence Center will not seek, collect, or retain information about an individual or organization, and originating agencies will not submit such information solely on the basis of religious, political, or social views or activity, participation in a particular organization or event. Now, that clearly isn't the case of what happened here with this leak. And there was no way to even know or hold them accountable, which is one of the problems. I should also say, after we accomplished this at the Austin level, I helped to author legislation at the state level in the state of Texas. The Texas Motorcycle Rights Association reached out to me because the Department of Public Safety police officers were pulling them over, DPS troopers pulling over bikers that were in motorcycle clubs, taking pictures of their tattoos and their patches on their leather garb, right? And they were putting that in an intelligence database, in the Diffusion Center database. So this woman with the Texas Motorcycle Rights Association, really cool lady, she reached out to me and was like, we need your help. And so we authored legislation. And I originally had this really strong legislation that took so much power away from the fusion centers. It had a lot of teeth. But of course, it got watered down throughout the legislative process. But it did, in fact, pass. And what this legislative legislation required was that all fusion centers have this privacy policy language. All 8 fusion centers in Texas were required to have this privacy policy language. This was a big eye opener for me as an anarchist, as a voluntarist, as a post-political activist, because I went through, I did my due diligence. I got a bill authored and passed, right? When you say that you're an anarchist, you don't vote, you don't participate. And they're like, well, you need to go to the state house and do your due diligence. It's like, yeah, I did that for several years. It got passed, but nobody followed up on it. And just because it was law doesn't mean the fusion center law enforcement apparatuses were actually going to follow the law. It literally would have taken me going on a road trip, visiting every single fusion center, putting out press releases, making a big stink, meeting with the directors and insisting that they adopt these privacy policies. But the problem with this whole law enforcement apparatus is, even if they were to adopt the privacy policy, there's no way to hold them accountable. And as we see in the case with the Austin Regional Intelligence Center, we even require them to have a privacy policy committee that had a community advocate on the committee. But the community advocate doesn't have any authority or can't go and look at this law enforcement only and unclassified documents. Well, we can look at it now, which is awesome because of this freaking leak. And if you just joined us, I showed you earlier in the video on how you can access this stuff. So check out this little bulletin. Symbol Intelligence Group, Officer Awareness Bulletin, Anti-Police Groups, Symbols as Identifiers, Occupy Movement, aka Occupy Wall Street. Look, so these are people that you got to be watch out for, because these are anti-police groups, right? And again, because of that privacy policy, this shouldn't be in there. There's no reasonable suspicion that a crime is going to be committed by Occupy Wall Street folks. By any of this stuff. We are the 99%. These are our streets. We will occupy them. This isn't criminal activity in the least bit. Anonymous is another one. And funny enough, Anonymous are the ones that hacked them. So that's great. Black Bloc. Now, Black Bloc often does do illegal activity, but simply belonging to Black Bloc doesn't make you a criminal. And this isn't something that should be in the Fusion Center. Having the anarchist symbol, maybe the voluntary symbol, ACAB, all cops are bastards. See, this is just like the cops butt hurt that people don't like them and trying to share their information. New Black Panther Party. So this was unclassified for official use only, but we're bringing it to you here on the Conscious Resistance Network and the Live Free Now show, ladies and gentlemen. You know, interestingly enough, there's another New Black Panther thing. New Black Panther March. So the New Black Panther Party held this march. This is another example of something that violates the privacy policy. This is not an illegal activity. Look, interestingly enough, they got InfoWars, the video from InfoWars. Austin Regional Intelligence Center, situational awareness. On Monday, March 16, 2015, Black Panthers, along with the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, marched outside the Capitol carrying rifles. The Dallas-based club is named after co-founder of the Black Panther Party. Group member Eric Kafari said the Gun Club stands in solidarity with all people who are marching and who are patrolling against police terrorism. Initial reports came in at about 3:15. They're in the area of Brushy and East 6th Street, initiating a march. Members of the group were carrying shotguns and rifles, chanting, "A pig is a pig. That's what I said. The only good pig is a pig that's dead. Oink, oink, bang, bang." Now, I understand that's provocative language, talking about violence against police officers, but that in itself is not an illegal act. We have First Amendment protected speech. Unless someone is making a specific threat about an individual police officer, then it doesn't rise to the level of criminal activity. There's no reasonable suspicion. But here again, we see that the Austin Regional Intelligence Center is violating its own privacy policy and keeping tabs on people that don't agree with them and keeping tabs on people that aren't, that are against the cops. What else? There's some other stuff here about cell phone tasers, just educational stuff for cops to stay safe, essentially. Credit card knife. That's pretty cool. Survival credit card knife. APD Impel. Be on the lookout for this kind of stuff. What else do you got here? Here's something that's interesting. There was a concert that was going to take place during South by Southwest, an unofficial South by concert. And the above unofficial event will be taking place at Dozen Street Bar on March 19, 2016. There was a double homicide in Dallas that sparked a gang war for the majority of 2016 between two groups that will both be performing at this event. The groups also have an issue with Go Yayo, who will be performing at this event as well. Both groups regularly carry assault rifles and handguns with high capacity magazines. Now check this out. Later on, they did an update about this particular piece of intelligence. It's out. Where is it? Here it goes. Here's the You Big Be Gone, the party. The groups are in town and have posted videos to social media showing them with numerous high-capacity weapons. Man, oh, man. Pretty wild. Okay, let's go some of these other highlights, and then I'll try to take some of your questions as well if we have time. There was some other good stuff I want to hit on here. There's other stuff that could be a whole longer video as well. They did a bit on the Republic of Texas biker rally, a whole long report talking about the Bandidos gang and gangs that were going to be there at the rally. What else? There's the Black Panther March. Here's some information that they gave themselves. Facebook security. So they're like giving each other tips on how to avoid activists getting their information. It has become increasingly popular among anti-police activists to attempt to locate social media postings by officers and publish them to activist media. Photos, especially of those which might serve to embarrass the officer or agency, are extremely high-value targets for them. Officers are reminded not to publish anything to social media that they wouldn't want released to the public. Oh, man. See, and then they give tips on how to make it private and stuff. It's a lot of the stuff that was in this fusion center was like them helping each other out. Then they had this fake account that kept trying to like people, kept trying to be friends. It has been discovered that the image above has been linked to the list of related Facebook pages next to the image. The Facebook page for Jennifer Heinzenerling has been sending friend requests to law enforcement officers, many of which are Austin police officers, both current and retired. Another thing where they're just like looking out for each other. So much of this Austin Regional Intelligence Center stuff is them protecting each other, protecting the gang from anti-police activists, because there's so much fear because they've been so harmful and been so hurtful to people. You know, it's bad news. Let me see. Here's some COVID stuff. COVID-19. This is from the Department of Homeland Security. COVID-19 stay-at-home orders and social distancing requirements sparking some violence in the United States. Interestingly enough, this was all predicted 10 years ago in the Rockefeller's lockstep document. And then they go through all sorts of stuff where somebody tries to force social distancing, people freak out, anti-shutdown protests. This is what the Department of Homeland Security is occupying their time with. They're supposed to be focused on terrorism, but really they're just focused on anti-government stuff. Check this out. This was a tip. Field operations divisions, criminal actors falsely claiming to have COVID-19 to avoid arrest, detention, or detainment, strain emergency services, and deplete resources. So that's a trip, huh? Oh, there's Tom Jefferson watching along. Hey, Tom, let me show you something that you might appreciate. Let me see. COVID. Officer safety. Activities. Where is it? Business. Let me search business. Business. Again, if you're just joining us, we are going through the Austin Regional Intelligence Center leaked documents, part of Blue Leaks. If you want to know how to find all these documents, you can go earlier in the video. I demonstrate how to get this. All right, so check this out, old Tom Jefferson. This is from the Texas Fusion Center, the Department of Public Safety Fusion Center. Officer safety, armed anti-government actors supporting businesses reopening in violation of COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. They try to like cover their butt. First Amendment notice. We recognize First Amendment, blah, blah, blah. The purpose of this bulletin is to provide awareness of law enforcement and highlight officer safety issues presented by armed volunteer groups seeking to support businesses open in violation of state stay-at-home orders. Law enforcement should be aware of the potentially volatile environment and presence of weapons when approaching businesses that have reopened in violation of government restrictions on businesses related to COVID-19. Many of the agitators have known affiliations with the Boogaloo movement or ties to extremist militias, though not all subjects have been identified. Potential criminal and suspicious activity or suspicious behavior associated with these armed reopenings include possible weapons violations, interference with public duties, expressed or implied threats to law enforcement, and doxing public officials. Again, it is not illegal to show up armed. I guess they try to say it's a non-essential activity, but everybody knows that those orders are unlawful. So armed groups supporting illegal Texas business reopenings in Dallas, Fort Worth, Oyster Creek. I know that was a big showdown in Oyster Creek. Here's somebody posting, any business in Texas that wants to say fuck the government and open back up, please message me. We're getting businesses together that want to open and people together that will vow to protect those businesses from government intervention. They even mention, so here's a Houston, Ector County, these guys. And here's some stuff that's pretty provocative. I'm not even going to say it, but you can read it right there. And then they even talk about the very famous Dallas incident, the Dallas Police Department citing the owner of a Dallas salon and serving her a temporary restraining order for her violation of stay-at-home order. Same Houston-based subject live streamed a video urging followers to assist the salon's armed reopening. And then they said that we should go to the home of the officers that arrested the salon owner. Here's Brazoria County. So, yeah, this is what the fusion centers are concerned with. What else? Let's just hit on a few. Let me see here. Situation. Oh, here's one about Pokemon Go and how it can be used to collect information from your camera. This was an interesting one. I guess they're like, I guess cops play Pokemon Go or something. Not exactly sure why that was in the fusion center as well. Oh, here's a funny thing. There was reports about this. This is an FBI unclassified document. The FOUO stands for For Official Use Only. This is official use, I should add. Identification of websites used to pay protesters and communication platforms to plan acts of violence as of June 2nd, 2020. This is pretty new. So check it out. One of the websites that they reference is protestjobs.com. Okay. So this is the FBI all concerned about protestjobs.com. So I went to protestjobs.com. This is a lot of stuff where people are like, it's George Soros paying the Black Lives Matter folks. It's all fake, right? So you go to protestjobs.com, professional protesters for your cause, protest now. All you got to do is scroll down, fake this website. Real Trump is a failure. And protest packages, 129, our most popular package, 15 to 200,000 professional protests, order protests, contact us. It's fake. But the freaking FBI put out a situational information report, potential activity alert, their San Antonio division, total dorks. Oh, man. All right. What else? Anarchists. Anti-government extremists likely to target law enforcement. Anti-government extremists likely to target law enforcement in Maryland and Delaware and possibly the United States through violence as a result of involved fatal shooting of Maryland-based Duncan Lemp. This was a boogaloo thing, quote unquote. This guy got taken out because somebody did a report that he had illegal weapons, and this guy was killed by the police, and a lot of people got upset about it. FBI Baltimore says his anti-government extremist will likely target law enforcement personnel in Maryland and Delaware and possibly in the United States through violent methods with the near term. The result of the officer involved fatal shooting of Maryland-based Duncan Lemp. This assessment is made with medium confidence. The hell does that mean? Based on FBI and other law enforcement information, as well as open source reporting. So there's that. The Duncan Lemp stuff really got them scared. According to another law enforcement agency, on March 13, 2020, in response to news of Duncan Lemp's death, Facebook user Aaron Svensson claimed to be ready to attack law enforcement. Svensson commented on Facebook concerning the Montgomery County Police press release and suggested utilizing hydrofluoric solicit acid containers above entry points to injure law enforcement. Yikes. Lots of crazy stuff going on in this world, ladies and gentlemen. So something like that may be a credible threat that they investigate, but there's certainly a lot of stuff in here that is not. Here's something about Boogaloo Boys. For internal law enforcement use only, do not distribute without permission from the Anti-Defamation League. See, earlier I told you that the Anti-Defamation League and Southern Poverty Law Center work in conjunction with the Fusion Center apparatus to put out information. I was put in a report about, because of my Agenda 21 activism with the Southern Poverty Law Center, Catherine Bleich was listed as one of America's top 50 leaders in the radical right resurgence. And then that stuff gets these magazines, the intelligence report by the Southern Poverty Law Center gets sent to the Fusion Center. So they like probably have it in their toilet when they're taking a poop. Here's the FDL and the Boogaloo Movement. The Boogaloo Movement, or Boogaloo Boys, is a decentralized movement dedicated to the notion that the American people will rise up violently in response to perceived tyrannical government overreach, and they view themselves as participants in such a future effort. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, Americans. The state and federal government's pulling them back. Here, of course, is the whole Hawaiian t-shirt phenomenon. Boogaloo, identifying characteristics, law enforcement threat. Those involved in Boogaloo movement have an anti-law enforcement mentality. Many consider the police to be the arm of the state, and their role is in enforcing laws and directives that Boogaloo boys believe to be tyrannical. Individuals in these groups often express outrage and anger over police enforcing red flag laws, executing no-knock warrants, and engaging in perceived brutality towards civilians. The ironic thing was that a lot of Boogaloo folks are in support of what the Black Lives Matter movement is going for as far as overcoming police brutality. And then there was a lot of Boogaloo boys that would show up to BLM protests. And there was this effort by the mainstream media and the Anti-Defamation League to make it to where like, oh, the Boogaloo militia guys are there against the BLM and there's going to be this attack. I saw people parroting it and posting it. Some of my left-leaning Facebook friends, I was like, no, hold on a second. If you actually look a little deeper with a critical eye, not just believe what you see on TV, the Anti-Defamation League also sends talking points to mainstream media as well. A lot of these folks were actually going out there to protect the protest, right? And so, yep, big Igloo Boys. His name was Duncan Lemp. See, here's more stuff about Duncan Lemp. This is for Duncan Lemp, you cunt. Whoa, the new no-knock raid detector. Yikes, we're talking about the provocative there, huh? Look out, everybody. All right. So this is, oh, here, this is what I found. This, if Tom Jefferson is still watching, this was the specific instance on such incident occurred in West Odessa, Texas. So these are some gun groups and some peeps that I'm friends with. Seven heavily armed men, one of whom allegedly followed two dozen pages dedicated to the Boogaloo groups on Facebook, and a bar owner were arrested on May 4th following a standoff with local law enforcement after vigilantes showed up to try to protect the bar from legal retribution. Following the incident, one Boogaloo page on Facebook shared images from the standoff and wrote, "Intent and willingness to give up everything for a moment of true violence in order to make a statement is one of the barriers we need to cross as a community." So this was an incident where there was like a bar out there and some gun rights groups wanted to go protect and defend this bar. And the Ector County Sheriff's Department, look at these big guys here, they showed up with their giant tank and disarm these guys. So, man, oh, man. Howard Ritter. Duncan was killed by police. Red flag relayed. Here's the information. Oh. All right. We're going to get close to wrapping up here. Let me see if there's any more documents we can highlight. Check this out. This could be its own. Thomas Jefferson says, zoom in on screenshot. Let me see. Zoom in on which one? This one here? This? I'll share this stuff with you guys. I know that some of your buddies, there's CJ Griffin right there, or CJ Grisham. Yeah, this is what I was talking about. I don't know if you joined us earlier, CJ, but there's a whole document also about the law enforcement gun groups that were going and supporting. Here it is right here. I'm going to upload this stuff to a website sometime soon. Armed anti-government actors supporting business reopening in violation of COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. And then this one was about the Boogaloo Boys. And it goes into what happened in Ector County, Cato's Bujahideen. This is all getting shared. This is from the Anti-Defamation League. Look, do not distribute without permission from the Anti-Defamation League. Whoopsie. Okay, so let's just wrap up here. Okay, we'll wrap up with this. This is just goes to show how big tech is in bed with the Fusion Center law enforcement apparatus. So this is a presentation that was given to the Austin Regional Intelligence Center, and essentially it shows how law enforcement has a backdoor into Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and how they can do online requests to get people's information. For example, if someone posts something and then they try to delete it, then they can go and dig it up again through the backdoor law enforcement online requests. This is Facebook for you guys. They're like deleting everyone's stuff. Anyone shares anything contrary to the COVID pandemic, they just deleted all these Boogaloo groups. But meanwhile, law enforcement has a back door. Look, you can select if you have a subpoena or court order, but then you could just put emergency, which I'm sure they just put for everything. And this has be as specific as possible and determine the source and location of the threat. And it goes on to show how they can backdoor into Twitter and how they can backdoor into Snapchat, how they can even backdoor into that new into TikTok, into Kick Messenger. So nothing is sacred, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is tracked and traced. And the big takeaway for today that I'd like to communicate is that the Fusion Center system, multi-jurisdictional law enforcement apparatus, which merges the local, state, and federal information gathering and intelligence sharing practices, the Fusion Center system is alive and well in this country. It was a product of the Department of Homeland Security after the 9/11 attacks. It was originally sold to the American public as though it was an institution to protect us from terrorism. Because if you remember back then, all the public was all up in arms and so afraid and terrified because 9/11 just happened and Al-Qaeda was the big boogeyman. And then later ISIS and ISIL were the big boogeymen. And so a lot of people willingly cheered on the expansion of the police state and the surveillance state. It wasn't but a few years that the intelligence apparatus was being utilized against the American public, specifically against activist groups that are more radical, that are more provocative, that aren't just going to the ballot box. Rather, they're seeking to take their freedom, their police accountability, their justice into their own hands in order to bring about change. And now this law enforcement apparatus, as we saw an inside look into the Austin Regional Intelligence Center through the documents that were leaked as part of the Blue Leaks anonymous hack, which you can find at DDO Secrets, DDOS. Just search DDOS, search DDO Secrets, use a VPN, download Views, the torrent launcher, and then you download that torrent file and you could grab the different Fusion Centers or different files so you don't have to download the whole 284 gigabyte file. But as we looked into the back door of the Fusion Centers, we see that a lot of it, sure, is legitimate activities that law enforcement should be doing. Some of the stuff I didn't show you is there's a lot of be on the lookouts where a car gets stolen in El Paso and then it was last seen driving north through Texas. And so they send a bulletin to the San Antonio Police Department, for example. Or there's a missing person who has family or a suspect in Austin, Texas. So Dallas sends it to Austin, right? That's what they say it's for with trends and stuff. And there is an element of that. But what my big takeaway was reviewing these documents is the law enforcement institution is not very different than a typical gang. There's a lot of thuggish type people. There's a lot of bad actors and they have weapons and they are very aggressive. And now they have this toy, this intelligence toy that they can utilize. And there's not a whole, there is legitimate uses of protecting people, but there's also a whole lot of protecting their own crew and targeting and surveilling and tracking activists outside of the system activists that are provocative and a little more forceful and pushy, so to speak, some more than others. And this all came about. I have a long, rich history of researching and educating people about the Fusion Center system. I was tipped off by an Austin Chronicle reporter that there was a report on me. And when I went to go look for it, sure enough, the report was inputted by Officer Jason Mistrick, the very same police officer that arrested me for filming him in the course of his duties, and then later created a fake Facebook profile called Max Rock. We later realized that he was doing a joke on Max Rockatowski from Mad Max, right? If we would have known that, like, I haven't seen that movie in forever. I don't think I've watched the whole thing. So he created a fake Facebook profile, started friending all these activists in the Austin area, asking all these weird questions. Then at my pretrial hearing, he dropped in my ex-wife's lap while she's holding my little baby girl this folded up piece of paper with all these screenshots from the Facebook profile, trying to intimidate us, saying, "I'm watching you." Well, he's the amateur sleuth that inputted this threat liaison officer report saying that I have a credible threat to law enforcement. I have suspicious activity. And that's why my name was put in the Fusion Center, right? Now, of course, we were talking about a provocative topic like stopping the police officer, subduing them, running them out of the community. But it just goes to show that a lot of what the law enforcement are doing with these Fusion Centers is very unprofessional. Not only is it unprofessional and it's like, let's protect our own crew at the expense of the tax dollars and at the expense of First Amendment and Fourth Amendment protected activity, but they're in violation of their own privacy policy, a privacy policy which myself, along with Texans for Accountable Government, American Civil Liberties Union, back in 2011, we forced the privacy policy onto the Austin Regional Intelligence Center that would prohibit the collection of non-criminal information of a political, religious, or social view. And this privacy policy is one of the most strict, most progressive in the country. Nonetheless, because there's no mechanism of accountability in place and because there's no prying eye that can come in and look at what these Fusion Center intelligence centers are doing, the cops are basically free to run roughshod over our rights. They're free to track, surveil us, trace us. So this brings up a lot of big implications for those that want a more free society, because this institution is in place in large part. They'll say it's in place to keep the peace and to preserve order. But in large part, the institution exists in order to maintain and protect the status quo. The status quo where we have a ruling class that are in control of the government, that utilize the institution of government in order to exploit their fellow human beings, in order to enrich themselves, in order to increase their position of power and privilege at the expense of everyone else. And when you have activist groups like the New Black Panther Party, like the Boogaloo Boys, that, or like when there's an unlawful order by the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, and people say, you know what, this is unlawful. We are going to exercise our Second Amendments. We are going to go defend these brave Americans, these brave Texans that are going to open up businesses. The law enforcement apparatus of the Fusion Center tracks and traces and surveils that. And it's very likely that you have someone in Houston or someone in Austin posting, or Temple posting, about, hey, our friends in Ector County, we should go over there. And they're like organizing on public Facebook. And we just saw at the end how that PowerPoint presentation, Facebook has a back door. The law enforcement has a back door into Facebook. It's very likely that the Fusion Center apparatus is being utilized in order to send that information and intelligence over to Ector County so they can be prepared for what is to come, this protest. So maybe this can be another video, but as an activist and as a radical activist at that, there's a lot of strategic implications for how we ought to operate in moving forward. Just for the record, I'm a peaceful activist. I would never initiate violence against anyone. I do, however, support armed groups and people that are defending their rights and defending the rights of others through firearms. That's what the Second Amendment is all about. That was enshrined in the United States Constitution. That's what our natural right to self-preservation grants us. So there's a lot to break down here. And I'm happy to have a conversation in the comments after this video wraps up. I've been going for an hour and 15 minutes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is the Live Free Now show. I invite you to subscribe to our podcast. We have the links down there if you want to do iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. It's on YouTube as well. I don't know. The freaking APD was already tracking my Facebook page in 2016. So maybe they're going to be upset that we shared all of their information. I want you guys to download this information and go through it as well. If you go back in the video, I talked about how you can download that information, how you can use torrents and views in order to download that information. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, I'll be going through some of the other fusion centers to see if there's any other bombshell documents like the modern militia movement that we started with, like some of the stuff that we came across in the Austin Regional Intelligence Center. So I want to thank you so much for tuning into this live stream. This is John Bush with the Live Free Now Show. I want to invite you to join the Freedom Cell movement. That's one of the things that caught their eye while they put us in their little Austin Regional Intelligence Center report. The law enforcement institution, the powers that be, the state, don't like this idea of people organizing themselves into a mutual aid, mutual defense compact, creating our own alternative form of social organization. They don't like it because it's effective and it's good activism. So I want to invite you to join the Freedom Cell movement. We have over 3,500 activists that are working together to achieve common goals, to protect and secure their sovereignty, and to support one another. We want to create an environment where we don't need to rely on government at all for any of our wants and needs, where we can rely on ourselves and we can rely on each other. That's freedomcells.org. All right, John Bush, I'm out. Live free now. Live free, peace and freedom.